It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. The hot new trend in the entertainment industry lately is not new at all. In fact, it's old. It's already been done before. Recent successful movies, video games, and even music trends have focused on nostalgia and bringing us back to the stories, genres, and ideas we already knew and loved before. Critics over the years have argued that nostalgia can keep us stuck in the past, trying to relive a time that's no longer as relevant to the present or our future. But hang on. Our next guest is a psychologist who's done a lot of research on nostalgia. In his new book, he says nostalgia can help bring us forward, not hold us back. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you find nostalgia and feelings of the past maybe holding you back? Or do they make you more hopeful for a better future? Do you like to watch or rewatch movies, shows, or stories that remind you of an earlier time? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Clay Rutledge is the Vice President of Research and Director of the Human Flourishing Lab, the Archbridge Institute, a nonprofit public policy think tank in Washington, D.C. He's the author of the new book, Past Forward, How Nostalgia Can Help You Live a More Meaningful Life. Clay, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
We might all have a basic idea of nostalgia and what it means. Give us a quick working definition for our conversation.
So the basic definition of nostalgia that you'd find, like if you looked in an online dictionary, is something like nostalgia is a sentimental or wistful longing for the past. When we've studied it, really what you can think of nostalgia is, it is a feeling, it is an emotion, but it's also our memories, it's our cherished memories. So it's that feeling we have when we reflect back on memories that for various reasons we find fulfilling or meaningful.
The idea, the word I learned from your book is a few hundred years old, and for most of that time, it was thought of as a bad thing by scientists, researchers, doctors, the early days of the psychology profession. Why was it viewed so, it seems like consistently, negatively for so long?
Yeah, that's right. In 1688, the term was coined really to represent a medical, what they thought of was a medical disease of Swiss mercenaries fighting wars far from home. And they thought of it as a disease because when these soldiers were longing for home, they were experiencing all sorts of physical symptoms, insomnia, vomiting, fever, you know, all sorts of distressing symptoms. And so they thought, oh, like this longing for home is causing them a great deal of suffering and misery. And that idea really persisted for a long time. Eventually, it fell out of favor in the medical community. But with the rise of psychology, you started to see psychologists think of nostalgia as some kind of mental disease or mental disorder. And really that persisted, as you noted, until a few decades ago when researchers started to really disentangle cause from effect. And what I mean by that is what people used to think is, oh, you're looking back on these memories or you're longing for a home and that's making you miserable. But what we've started to realize with modern behavioral science is a lot of times what's going on is you're feeling miserable and that's making you return to these memories, which might actually be helping you deal with that misery. So that was really a more recent discovery.
And you mentioned researchers, that includes you, and you write that you entered into the field at a time when there weren't many people really doing research. I mean, there are theories about nostalgia. You were part of a group around the world, really, that started trying to put it into practice and talk to people and do research into how they feel nostalgia. What led you down that path?
Yeah, that was actually really surprising to me is when I first started to thinking about this, really, I was more interested actually in how people think about the future. So one thing that's kind of cool about being a human is like we can imagine a future and that helps us plan for the future and really advance civilization in a lot of ways and improve our own lives. But thinking about the future also causes anxiety because it's uncertain and the one certainty isn't great, which is our mortality. And so when we think about the future, we get excited, we get hopeful, but we also get a little bit anxious and uncertain. And so what I thought was maybe what happens is we use that same mental time travel ability that allows us to think about the future to turn backwards and look to the past for comfort. And I thought, okay, well, this is going to be well known. This is going to be well established in the scientific literature. And then what I discovered is actually there wasn't a lot of work on this. There was work in marketing on how people like to spend money on products that remind them of the past, but there really wasn't much work on the the psychological mechanics of nostalgia, minus this historical account that we've talked about, where there was a lot of theorizing about nostalgia as a medical disease or as a psychological disorder, but there really wasn't a lot of like high quality research studies on this topic.
Talking to Clay Rutledge, psychologist, author of the new book, Past Forward, How Nostalgia Can Help You Live a More Meaningful Life. You could join in with your experiences, your questions about nostalgia at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Clay, if I had a number one takeaway from your book, it seems like it's this paradox. We might think of nostalgia as sort of retreating in the into the past, maybe being stuck there. But you say no. That's actually a path toward planning for the future. How does that work?
You know, when I first started studying nostalgia, I would have been in that camp of people that said, well, nostalgia is about holding us back. Or, you know, to be more generous, I would have thought, well, nostalgia might comfort us, but it really doesn't help us move forward, except to the extent that it's good to be comforted. But then, you know, what I discovered, not just me, but other researchers as well, is that when people engage in nostalgic reflection, not only are they looking backwards to comfort for themselves, but they're actually looking for ideas and for inspiration to solve problems in the present. So just spend some time with entrepreneurs who are, you know, trying to create a product that improves their community. And you'll find a lot of them have a nostalgic story that inspired them. They have some memory from their childhood or youth that really motivated them to do what they do today. Artists are the same. If you listen to music, if you watch movies, if you read books, all those creators have the stories, the nostalgic stories that inspired them to do the thing that they do. And we started to study that more empirically as well. And what we found is that when you have people spend a few minutes reflecting on a nostalgic memory, subsequently, they feel more inspired. They feel more motivated. They're more creative. They're more interested in going out and meeting people. They're more open-minded. So really what we find is engaging in nostalgic reflection actually pushes people towards the types of thoughts and emotions and goals that advance their lives, and also it kind of advance communities and societies more broadly.
I want to dig into one example you share that really stood out to me. A fellow named William Dunn had nostalgic memories of fishing with his dad, right? And that's one of those bittersweet things. He enjoyed it. He couldn't do it again. Tell us what he did with that nostalgia, what it inspired him to do for the present and future.
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, he had these memories from his past, and there was this bittersweet, you know, which is actually fairly common with nostalgic memories. But then there was another child in the this community when he was an adult that was going through a difficult time, and this was like take a kid fishing, and he took this kid fishing, and he just started this as this kind of personal individual project, and it really, you know, this kid started getting better grades, started having a better relationship with his mom, and really started improving his life. And this kid didn't have his own father to take him fishing, and so that kind of gave him the idea that you could scale this this project, right? There's all sorts of kids that need mentors and adults in their lives to help them. And so that's where he started ended up starting this nonprofit organization, which was rooted, as you noted, in his own childhood memories of going fishing with his father.
Something that really strikes me about this is this idea of, I don't think you say it in exactly this way, we could engage with our nostalgia in a passive way, like, oh, that was a great time, I really miss it, whatever. Or we can kind of talk to it and say, what is it? What was the value there? How can I recreate that value, even if I can't recreate that exact circumstance, that exact activity? Talk about engaging with our nostalgia to figure out ways to recreate that feeling, if not the actual event.
Yeah, that was really the reason that I wrote the book, is because, you know, at some level, nostalgia is natural. We just do it organically. And what I mean by that is, you know, we all have these experiences where we hear an old song and it takes us back and we like that. And it just kind of happens in our lives, or we just start to, we're talking to an old friend and we start sharing old memories. And, you know, that's just part of life. But I thought if that's something that has the potential to be good for us, then just like exercise is good for us, and we can, you know, we can improve exercise by getting a personal trainer or going to the gym or really learning better form and better technique. I thought, well, maybe there's something to more intentionally engaging in nostalgia in a way that can help us extract the greatest benefits out of it. And, you know, the, going down that path, what I discovered was the more action oriented it is, the more engaging and the more social the nostalgic experience, I think the better it is for us. So it's great to listen to it's great to watch old shows and listen to old music and all of that. But it's even better if you can channel that into a hobby, learn to play guitar, you know, cook old family recipes, start a book club, or, you know, engage in the types of activities that allow you not just to yourself benefit from those memories, but to do things for other people and to share those memories with other people. And it actually doesn't, it kind of comes naturally. It helps to really push it, but it comes naturally too, because it turns out when people engage in nostalgia, they don't want to keep it to themselves. They want to share it. Look at the Barbie movie phenomenon that happened, mm-hmm. you know, last year, which like people had all these, particularly women had all these memories about Barbie, and they didn't just want to go to the movie by themselves. They wanted to get their girlfriends together and go out and make it a big like social activity, make it a social media sort of phenomenon. And I think that happens a lot. Like we're really, really inspired not just to keep these nostalgic experiences to ourselves, but to connect with others over them.
We're talking to psychologist Clay Rutledge about nostalgia and his new book, Past Forward, How Nostalgia Can Help You Live a More Meaningful Life. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What triggers nostalgic feelings for you? A person, a place, a thing, a song, a moment in your, I don't know, high school years or your 20s? Does it make you feel good? A little bit sad that it's gone? Does it lead to good things for you? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation with Clay Rutledge. He's an existential psychologist who's with us today to talk about nostalgia and his new book. It's called Past Forward, How Nostalgia Can Help You Live a More Meaningful Life. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What comes to mind when you think of nostalgia? Is there a moment in your life, a memory, person, a song, you name it, that makes you feel nostalgic? What questions do you have for our expert, our researcher on nostalgia and what it does for us? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Clay, you have a chapter on nostalgia and loneliness. And I found this really interesting. You'd think if somebody's feeling lonely, and many people are in the United States these days, and they think back to a time where they didn't feel lonely, you might think they'd feel worse. I had that and I lost it. But it doesn't necessarily have to work that way. How can that end up being a positive?
Yeah, so one thing that happens with loneliness, which makes it such a difficult social problem that we face, is loneliness leads to more loneliness. When people feel lonely, they tend to withdraw from others even further as a way to avoid further social harm. The last thing someone who feels socially disconnected wants to experience is further rejection or ostracism. So what happens when people engage in nostalgia is first thing it does is it kind of takes them out of that moment and helps them see a bigger picture that, yeah, right now things aren't going great in my social life and I'm experiencing social pain, but my life is bigger than this. And in the past, I've actually had meaningful social experiences, rewarding social experiences. So if I've had them in the past, then I could probably have them again in the future. So I think that's one big part of it, is just taking that kind of perspective, that bigger picture. But in addition to that, nostalgia also helps you recruit the kind of mental resources you need to resolve loneliness. So when you feel lonely, you lack confidence. You feel like you would have a hard time making friends or reestablishing old relationships or repairing relationships. Nostalgic memories tend to boost social confidence. And so that might give you just that extra push you need to take the risk and to call to, you know, to reach out to somebody you haven't talked to in a long time or somebody that you've been having problems with, or, you know, to go out and to forge new relationships. And so nostalgia is a great way to kind of pull you out of a rut and re-energize your social life.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Mark is with us in Milwaukee. Mark, hi.
Hey, Rob. So if the three of us went out and did something tomorrow, And then we all looked back on it in a year from now and wanted to repeat that. Time has passed and people grow, they evolve. And so we can't go back to what it was, even if the three of us got together and went and did some activity. So nostalgia, I think, to me, it's just it's the fond memories. And I think really what it comes down to in life is to just do it like the Nike slogan says, just go for it and build those fond memories. Because, of course, today there's always going to be, you know, more opportunities and stuff coming our way. You know, you just have to be positive and, you know, see the brighter side of things.
Interesting, Mark. Thanks a lot for the call. So Mark saying, I think, Clay, let's make good moments today to have things to feel nostalgic about in the future and use that nostalgia to keep us moving forward in the same way.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that that's actually how this often works is people don't really want to exactly repeat something most of the time. It is the fond memories that kind of push us forward. And we think, well, I can create new memories but we want that connection often. We want to feel like, you know, our new memories and somehow are related to our ongoing life story, our ongoing life narrative. And so, yeah, collecting these memories over time helps us, it kind of inspires us to create new memories. We do this all the time when we plan vacations. We even engage in almost like an anticipatory nostalgia where we're plotting ahead of what we want to do on that to create memories, knowing that, you know, we will have those memories with us even long after the vacation.
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. Talking to Clay Rutledge, psychologist, author of the new book, Past Forward, How Nostalgia Can Help You Live a More Meaningful Life. You use the words a life story and life narrative, Clay. That reminds me of another example of kind of how we use nostalgia to tell our stories. You talk about someone in the book who thinks back on a birthday party when they were a kid. They invited lots of people to the party. Only a few showed up. Oh, no, that's a bad, sad memory. But the few who showed up had a ton of fun. That's a good memory and maybe a lesson. Can you talk about how we sort and narrate our stories to get the best out of our nostalgia?
Yeah, I'm guessing most people have an experience in which they've rewatched a movie many years from the first time they watched it. And they're like, oh, I'm learning new. I didn't pick this up. I was too young to get that message from the movie or to pick up on that particular theme. Our own life story is kind of like that. We have all sorts of experiences. And as we get older and we've had the opportunity to grow, to mature, we can look back and say, you know, at the time that was really difficult because at the time I was really concerned about social, you know, being popular. But now as I've gotten older and I realize like being popular is not the most important thing. It's actually more important to have like a few deep, enduring, like, you know, really high quality relationships. Mm-hmm. Then I can look back on that experience and say, oh, wow, okay, there was a lesson there. And I think that's actually one of the really neat things about nostalgia is that we can, at different points in life, we can pull from these memories when we're ready to really learn from them and extract new information from them, really useful information that helps us continue to grow.
Let's go back to our callers with Laura in Twin Lakes. Laura, hi, what did you want to tell us about?
Yeah, hi. I'm going on 73 years old, and I find myself lately, I just recently purchased an old-fashioned vacuum coffee pot that my mother used to use. I bought the coffee that she used to use, a certain brand, and I've been making recipes that she used to make, like Bohemian American recipes, and I find such comfort in it. It's interesting.
Laura, thanks so much for sharing that with us. And Clay, Laura hitting a big point of your book, a lot of our nostalgia, most, maybe all of our nostalgia in many ways, is about our social connections, our connections with other people.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, in nearly all of the work that's been done on nostalgia, the most common like theme that comes out is nostalgia is really about relationships. Even memories that seem like they're very much about your own like experience, your own triumphs, it doesn't take long to interrogate them to figure out that you're really thinking about the people that motivated you, that inspired you, the people that helped you, the people that you wanted to be proud of you. I mean, so most of these memories are about relationships. In addition to that, the example that was just provided is a great one because we often like to use aesthetics, you know, to create environments, to populate like where we live with things that help us remind us of those memories. And so when people think about consumer nostalgia, they think of it as being, you know, oftentimes it's portrayed as being fairly superficial. You know, you just buying consumer products that remind you of the past. But in reality, those products are often symbols that help that cue up connection points. Like the example just provided, like a certain coffee pot might remind you, might bring you back to memories with your mom. And so even the material objects that we create or put in our environment to feel nostalgic for are often really about relationships.
Thanks for that call. Clay, I want to see if you can help people out. I can think of a bunch of songs, you know, the good old days, glory days, things like that, where the good times were, or whatever, high school era, early 20s, and they're gone and we can't come back to them. If somebody's stuck in that kind of nostalgia trap, if you will, can you offer some advice to turn that around and get some inspiration from nostalgia?
Yeah, I think a very good exercise to engage in if you feel like for some reason that the past was better than the present and you're getting stuck in this nostalgia trap is to get more specific and to ask yourself, well, what are the particular aspects of the or features of the past that you think were better and why? And then ask yourself, would you really give up a lot of the advances that have been made? And do you really want to return to the past? And when you get it more surgical like that, it ends up being better because people can extract, okay, there is something about the past. Maybe when I was young, I felt freer. I felt more open-minded. I felt more energetic. And I don't want to go back to that period of time, but if I can capture the essence of that feeling and that can help me feel that way again, that can help me take on new challenges, it can help me find the confidence and openness to explore new ideas and new approaches, then I can maybe channel that nostalgic energy into the present. You're never going to be, you know, you're never going to be 18 again, but you can capture some of that psychology of being 18 that you found inspiring.
Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
That's Clay Rutledge, Vice President of Research, Director of the Human Flourishing Lab at the Archbridge Institute, psychologist, author of the new book we've been talking about. It's called Past Forward, How Nostalgia Can Help You Live a More Meaningful Life. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.